This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Oh yeah, hey, oh my gosh, thank you for being here right now and listening. Oh, and if you listened to the pilot episode, the episode right before this, where I had, my amazing guests, DJ Lily, my 85-year-old DJ student, Sasha Jones of Stigley Holistics, Christine Getso Weiss, and Ruse Starr. If you caught that episode, thank you for coming back. Means so much. And if you didn't catch that episode, you can always go back to Heritage Radio Network's website, search Primary Food or DJ Cherish the Love, and that's spelled L-U-V, and catch that episode. I don't know, listen to it while you're mopping your floor or cleaning the kitchen or vacuuming, whatever. It's a really good one. Lots of storytelling. So let me tell you how to get in touch with me and get my attention on social media. That would be Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at DJ Cherish the Love. Again, L-U-V, so that's DJ Cherish the Love. I think the song, Cherish the Love. And hashtag using primary food or heritage underscore radio or hashtag Rev Love. And yes, my middle name really is Cherish. Thanks, Mom. Love it. So let's get down to business. What is primary food? You might be new to this primary food game, but I'm going to introduce it to you. Aside from being a reverend and a DJ who wants to officiate your wedding and bring the tunes and bring the noise and bring the funk, I'm also a certified holistic health coach, and I studied at Institute for Integrative Nutrition. At this school, which I highly recommend you take courses at if you're interested in learning about this holistic sense of nutrition, contact them at integrativenutrition.org and tell them Cynthia Cherish Malloran sent you. At this school, I learned a concept, this concept of primary food, so important to me, kept me afloat, healthy, happy during my year of cancer treatment. And 2015, that's what you were for me, man, cancer treatment year. Without this concept of primary food, I would not have gotten through all of that chemotherapy and my surgery, my double mastectomy a month ago, without primary food. So what is primary food? Okay, so the food that you eat, the food on your plate, the food that you're going to wolf down on Thanksgiving, the pizza at Roberta's, all of that we consider to be secondary food. The food on your plate that you put on your mouth, that you chew, that goes in your stomach, secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that feeds and nourishes you. So the exact definition from IIN, Integrative Nutrition, is the foods that you eat are secondary to all other things that feed you, your relationships, career, spirituality, exercise routine. Those are things we call primary foods. All that we consider today as nutrition, food, is really just secondary source of energy. And primary food is more than just what is on your plate. Healthy relationships, regular physical activity, and a fulfilling career, spiritual practice. All of that can fill your soul and satisfy your hunger for life. And I find that when you have high quality primary food, great relationships, love your job, you have higher quality secondary food. It kind of makes sense, right? If you have a really bad experience, you're having a bad day at work, or you're in a chronic bad relationship with someone else or with yourself, you tend to feed yourself some lower quality secondary food, like, you know, eating junk food all the time. So at IIN, primary food focus is relationships, physical activity, career, and spiritual practice. But I like to throw in there focus on creativity. That can cross over into spirituality, but my focus is creative output. And that's why for me, cancer was a creative and spiritual illness. But I'll get back to that in a second, because let's talk about secondary food for a minute. This is, after all, Heritage Radio Network, Heritage Foods, man. Everything else secondary food-wise, you've got covered on this radio station, from beer to pasta to farm to table, whatever. They've got it covered. So I'm going to cover the topic of primary food. But let's talk a little bit more about secondary food. I'm going to throw in a food review, because I am really kind of intrigued by all of this vegan talking lately, and all of these little vegan shops opening up left and right. I just recently visited one in Union Square called V-Burger. And hey, first of all, you know what? Props to anybody who is opening a food joint in 2015, this day and age, with this economy, and with, you know, a location like in Union Square, vegan to boot. What? I mean, these are challenges, and I'm really impressed by that. And they're a bunch of really, you know, great folks, and they've got this great intent. I went to go check it out, to review their food, and this is what went down. Okay, I don't really know what to order. What do you recommend?
Well, it depends what you're in the mood for. If you want the classic American burger, you get the V Classic, which has your lettuce, tomato, pickles, onions. We have our own classic burger patty, obviously fig meat.
What is the patty made of?
It has soy protein isolate. So if you're not a fan of soy, which shouldn't be a problem, we have other recommendations as well. The fried on chicken, we have spicy black bean burger.
I have to try that burger.
Oh, you got
to
try everything.
So I'd try everything, but that would be so shameful if I ordered everything right now.
Whatever you don't order, you should be ashamed of anyway, regardless.
Well, if it's good, I'm coming back.
Awesome.
So it's going to hinge on this burger. Okay, does it taste good? You tell me.
How about you just taste it? We'll say that.
Okay, you have a classic and a double.
Yes.
Do you serve it with cheese, too?
No cheese here.
Why no
this
cheese?
It's all vegan, so there's no animal byproducts, nothing that has to do with...
And not even like a process, like fake cheese either?
No. We like to keep it as original as possible, you know, besides just like the actual burger patty. There's nothing really here that is really processed at all.
Oh,
everything's
wow.
about, we're almost 99% organic.
Oh, wow.
Non-GMO,
great.
We're very soy-free friendly.
Well, wait a second, I see something cool. What's the Mercy for Animals logo on your menu?
So 10% of all our proceeds go straight to Mercy for Animals, which...
Wow.
Yeah, you should... Look up Mercy for Animals and you'll be amazed.
That is enough to just keep ordering. Okay,
all our food is animal cruelty free.
The people behind me in line.
No one had to be hurt.
No one had to be hurt.
No one had to be hurt for you to eat, which is an amazing feeling if you think about it.
And
on top of this, you don't lose any flavor for anything. Since things are made from scratch, you're getting the best of the best here.
That's okay. All right, I got to order.
Let's go.
Oh, I want to get a burger and some dessert. Okay, so that's what I ordered. This is my review. Oh, food, glorious food. Okay, so I receive my burger, and it's huge. I mean, it's inches tall, wrapped in paper. Feels like, I know, this is so bad to say. It felt like really good, you know, that good feeling of, yum, I'm getting fast food. Because it had that paper wrapper. It wasn't, like, served on you know, like a precious plate or anything like that. And I kind of liked it. I kind of liked getting that paper burger. So I unwrap it. Huge. I mean, seriously, it was had to be like four so inches thick. I bite into it, and it was really funny. It was confusing, actually, because it really did taste like I was eating at like a familiar fast food joint from way back when I used to eat like that. And knowing it was much healthier for my body and healthier for the earth, option. It was a little bit confusing. So it was delicious. The patty was like bigger than the bun itself. The meat was like, you know, outside of the bun's circumference, which said to me kind of like, oh, hey, this is a great value. There's a lot of, quote, meat in this. Had this great sauce on it, had great texture, had some pickles in it, lettuce, slice of tomato. I was very satisfied, actually. So along with that, I had the zucchini chips. Now, they've got this chickpea batter thing that was a little bit on the oilier side than I wanted it to be. But man, that thing was delicious. The batter that they have wrapping the zucchini chips. Oh man, I ate those chips as is without any sauce. It was so savory. Oh my God, my mouth is watering right now. I was like getting all kinds of like salty, yummy, seasoned explosions in my mouth. I loved that. In fact, I actually snuck a couple of the chips in my burger and I smushed it all together. Kind of like, you know, when you were a kid and you would shove fries in your burger for God knows what reason. I remember someone telling me once, not only did they shove fries in their burger, but they also dipped the fries in the milkshake, then put it in their burger. Oh my God. Hurl. Anyway, so these chips were delicious. I could eat that again for sure. The chocolate cake was, you know, vegan desserts can be either one way or the other. And I'm talking really bad or really good that it's confusing. Now, this chocolate cake, it's like other vegan desserts. It's like, I don't understand how this is vegan. And then I don't understand why all other desserts aren't vegan. If it can be this creamy and this kind of, you know, guilt-free like that. So this chocolate cake was awesome. I mean, I would definitely eat this again. Totally, totally yummy. So that's my review for V Burger. I totally suggest that you check it out. Say hi to the owners, Robert Cox and Reese. I mean, super nice folks. And they do it all for a great cause. Okay, full disclosure, I had more dessert than that. I actually had their cannoli, which was like, okay, I'm going to try this cannoli and like I'm already feeling like I want to hate on it because how can a non-dairy cannoli possibly be good? Oh my God, this cannoli was so good. I'm choking on my own like droolage. It was so good and so creamy. Like I really just don't understand how there is no dairy in it. So I really suggest that if you go there, definitely get desserts. Get a burger. Get some sort of fries or their zucchini chips and like, you know, two desserts or three. oh, and their kombucha. One thing that I really loved about V Burger, they have kombucha on tap. Yeah, that's right. So their kombucha on tap is great. I had the watermelon kombucha, which I was expecting to taste like Jolly Rancher, but it was so nice. It was subtle. It was like sparkly and, you know, it kind of felt really good balancing the food, drinking that down. It kind of reminds me of, you know, sometimes you'll drink a very fizzy kind of beer. Kind of felt like that. Really nice. Super recommend it. Union Square, V Burger. Check it out. Support new food businesses, especially ones with a big heart. Tell them Reverend DJ Cherish the Love sent you. Check out the pictures of my meal on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love. And remember, that's spelled L-U-V. I gotta go wipe my face. Okay, so like I'm drooling all over the mic. We'll be back after this musical break. I'm back. Oh my gosh, listening to that tune, that was so cute. That's actually a little guitar ditty that I recorded, I think, two nights ago at about like 3:20 in the morning because I could not sleep. I got a lot of this insomnia stuff. You know, cancer treatment wreaks all kind of hormonal havoc on your body and you end up, I don't know, you sleep at weird hours of the day. But anyway, that aside, I mean, sometimes these 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock hours where you're awake for a creative person, that's like, those are like the golden hours. Sometimes you create the most incredible stuff. So whether it's you make food, you make music, you make art, I highly encourage, this is like my big preaching to everyone. Please make your art. Make your music, make your food, do your writing, dance, get out there. Do all the stuff that feeds you and feeds other people. That's the beauty of primary food. Oh, I can't stress it enough how through my cancer treatment, me being creative and painting and writing, making music helped me stay happy through cancer treatment. That's right. I said I was happy through cancer treatment. That's something you never hear. And that's what I want to offer you and offer the world and anybody who's listening that needed to hear that. That it is possible to be happy even though you're going through cancer treatment. And it's through this understanding of primary food and the value of nourishing yourself with all of the things that are available to you. So writing was huge for me. Those of you who have been following me on Facebook as Cynthia Cherish Malloran or my Facebook pages, DJ Cherish the Love, soon to merge, and my Instagram account and Twitter account at DJ Cherish the Love, spelled L-U-V, don't forget. Those of you who had been following already, and please, if you're new to this whole primary food game and learning about me, please follow me. I would love to get to know you. And I would love to know what you make. So hashtag me, post a video, post an audio clip, friend me. I'm open. I would love to get to know you. If you'd been following me, then you had been following since my diagnosis. Probably in March, you've been following my cancer diaries. Writing was huge for me. It was a healing outlet. It was and still is my main method of balancing the thoughts and the feelings that I have about going through cancer treatment in New York City as a woman with breast cancer in her late 30s. Who just had a double mastectomy only a few weeks ago. I mean, how does one cope? One can write. It's one of the, you know, the simplest things you can turn to. Paper and pen. Or you can sing about it or make music about it. Choose your primary food. Use that as your healing outlet. And it's not even about the audience. And yeah, it's nice to have an audience. I love you for being here listening right now. But first and foremost, it's about getting what's bubbling and broiling up inside of you, out of you, into the world or onto paper or share it. Because let me tell you, and I'm about to share a very important excerpt from my cancer diaries, this book that I'm working on publishing. Let me share with you my theory on how I developed cancer. I'm going to read you an excerpt from one of the books I'm writing about this cancer journey of mine. The Cancer Diaries. Working title. That's just the working title still. That's going to change. So this is another reason why I highly suggest you reach out to me and follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. And again, remember, that's L-U-V. Because once I figure out the final title, you'll be the first to hear it. We like being the first. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from the Cancer Diaries, day 18. Why I Got Cancer, also known as Creative Cancer, also known as This World is Full of Beautiful People, and I'm so glad to meet them. I have been losing sensation in my left hand, my left pinky and ring finger to be exact. Needless to say, this brings me a little panic. I mean, who wants to lose sensation anywhere, right? Could it be from this brain tumor they found, sitting atop my spinal column being all intimate with my brain stem? Maybe. Maybe not. Probably. Probably not. Nobody knows. But whatever it be, I know I have to keep my fingers active. Music heals. This I know. I live and breathe. So this is why I decided the best thing to keep my hands active is to start playing the piano again and to learn new instruments, to learn as many new instruments as possible. I went back to the piano. I started playing it, practicing. I learned the bagpipes in Scotland this year. So now I'm learning the violin. Violin is great because it really keeps those sleeping fingers on my left hand busy. And I know I have to keep my hands busy. So far, I've had a month of violin lessons with badass Robin Braun at Third Street Music School. She's awesome. From Vancouver Symphony Orchestra and now Broadway. I'm starting to get the hang of this instrument. I love it. And I love being back at Third Street Music Settlement, which isn't on Third Street, by the way. And it's so cute because all of my classmates, seriously, they're about 4 feet tall. And my mom recently reminded me that this was where I actually first took piano lessons. Oh, amnesia. Wear a helmet. So I have been practicing with an electric violin, which I plug into my DJ booth, and I desecrate, I mean, accompany popular music when no one's around, with headphones, of course. And this has been really fun. This has been really quite fun. But I felt I needed to get an acoustic violin because, you know, something was missing. The flavor, the vibration. So I asked my friend Google, hey, Goog, where does one buy a violin in New York City? And her first suggestion was Gregory Singer Fine Violins Uptown. So I hop on the train on a mission to get a new healing music tool for myself, and I head over to this place to buy me an inexpensive reed, cheap starter violin. Yeah, so I seem to have ignored the word fine in the name of this place. When I entered, there were violins in glass cases, hanging, napping, polished, shiny, price tags more expensive than a house. The shopkeeper, Steve, introduced himself to me, and I said to him, I'm obviously in the wrong place. This place is way out of my league, and silly me, I walked in thinking I could get a violin here for like $500. And I could tell he thought I was adorable with that vision. But he said that he and Gregory, the owner and maestro, would look to see what they could do for me. Gregory sits and chit-chats with me. I tell him that I'm looking to buy a violin to help keep my hand strong, keep my spirit strong, and then I tell him my theory on why I got cancer. What manifested in me physically as cancer actually started as a creative spirit disease, creative cancer in a way. that in the past 5, 6, 7 years, I had not been creatively outputting everything that was in my heart, in my imagination. I had been derailed and distracted by being a workaholic, terrible relationships with others, mainly with myself. But even though I was not outputting into the world, my creative potential was still always buzzing and active. So I ended up creating inwardly, toxically, in the form of things like tumors. And much like in the past, I had made beautiful art, I had made beautiful tumors. So that's my theory. I mean, what my gut tells me. Gregory is moved by this explanation and tells me that he needs to reconnect to himself and his music and put more out there in the world of his own art. That what I said had deeply affected him. So he says to me while looking at Steve, "Looks like we're giving her a violin." I say, what do you mean? How much? Because these are so expensive. I can't afford these. He says, "Take this violin. It is your medicine. Heal with it. And I can tell already that you will do something really very magical with it. I know. I can see it. And you can return it to us when you are done. Or not." I am dumbfounded. Gregory hands me an antique German violin from 1890, and now this is the oldest thing I own, next to my big, awesome 1903 Underwood typewriter that some of you have gotten to know in my lyric writing. I am in shock. Steve asks me what my aspirations are with learning the violin, and I say, well, it's pretty simple. I guess I want to just finally get through Canon and D. Gregory says, "Let's all play it together." They both get their violins. I stand there with my "what the fuck is about to happen right now" face, because I don't really know how to play this. Gregory says, "Let's play a little Pachelbel on a Friday afternoon. How lovely." And I say laughingly, nervously, "I only know the first 2 lines. Gregory says, "Jen, just play that over and over again, and we will improvise with you." They tune to my A. I play. They play with me. I lead them. And suddenly there is a magical music triangle of Canon and D with antique violins and cellos hanging around us as audience. Absorbing our vibrations, smiling, we play and play and play until I stop and burst into tears, weeping and saying thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over again. I stand there, tears streaming down my face, holding the violin, sobbing, wiping my face with my forearm sleeve, the bow dangling from my ring finger. My body was vibrating. The entire room was vibrating. The rest of the world vanished. My fears were healing. My music was coming out. I was being cradled so gently by people I had never met before, but perhaps in a past life. And my faith in humanity and men and music completely restored. For a few minutes, I did not have cancer. I had music. This violin will help me regain strength and mobility in my arms after my double mastectomy recovery. And it gives me something beautiful to focus on. So thank you, cancer. Thank you, cancer, for yet another incredibly beautiful fairy tale experience. Look at all the magical things and human interactions I am trading these silly boobs for? My eyes were super puffy from crying and blubbering. There's a great picture of me on my Facebook page. Check it out. Of me and Maestro Gregory Singer. And they were right. I did do something fun and magical with that violin right after my mastectomy surgery. It's on my YouTube channel. There's probably only one video on that channel. If you go to YouTube and search DJ Cherish the Love, and you'll see my thank you video. It's called Canon in 38 Double D. See what I did there? Get it? Ah! Check it out. I've got Robin Braun, freestyle rapper Dama Nils, and ceremonial drummer Cindy Rifkin jamming with me to Canon and D with that violin. It's so beautiful. Be right back after this musical break. So I actually had to blow my nose and wipe my face. That's why we took that break. But what's your primary food? What's your creative thing? What's the thing that is in you that you need to do and get out there in the world and share and make and give birth to? Is it cooking food? Is it writing? Is it singing? Is it dancing? Is it making music? You know, whatever it is, this is me telling you, go and do it. And I want to know about it. So whatever it is that you make and do, hashtag primary food, post a picture or a video, send it to me via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I love Instagram. At DJ Cherish the Love. Remember, that's L-U-V, DJ Cherish the Love. And I will totally look at it. We can talk about it on the show. You can call in. I want to know about it. Basically, this is my invite for you to share it so that you can get it out of your system and you can live a healthy, balanced, happy, and satisfied life. Because remember my theory. Kind of important. So this is the part of the show where I like to share other people's primary food and creative output and what they make and put out in the world. I'm going to tell you a story. There is a group I recently saw at Roulette in Brooklyn. Really great space. This group is called The Thing. Yeah, The Thing. I just saw them a few weeks ago. And I saw them perform in Stockholm when I used to live there, on and off, maybe 10 years ago. I did not get them then, but now I do. And they didn't change. I mean, they've gotten better, but mainly I changed. Now, let me tell you about The Thing, because I'm going to play a track from theirs. I'll give you their bio first. The Thing. Forming in 1999 as a Don Cherry recording project, Scandinavian garage jazz trio The Thing established themselves as one of the most exciting and hardest working free jazz trios around. They've performed with guests like Joe McPhee, Ken Vandermark, Otomo Yoshihide, Jim O'Rourke, Thurston Moore, Terry X, Peter Evans, and Nana Cherry. With dedicated fans in the rock, noise, and jazz communities, The Thing keeps taking their music to new, uncompromising levels, and they continue to solidify their position in the contemporary independent music world. Mats Gustafsson, he's the baritone and tenor sax, is one of Europe's biggest names on the music scene. Through groups like Gush, A-A-L-Y, Trio, Fire, and Peter Bruttmann's Chicago Tentet, he has established himself as a powerful musician and has somewhat reinvented the way of playing the sax. In 2011, he received the Nordic Council Music Prize, the biggest prize for a musician in the Nordic countries. Ingebrigt Håker Flåten and Paul Nielsen Love have become known as Norway's heaviest rhythm section. Since their longtime collaboration started in 1992, they have been working together in several groups like School Days with Ken Vandermark, Scorch Trio with Raoul Bjørknheim, and Swedish-Norwegian jazz group Atomic. Before I play this track of theirs for you, let me paint the picture of what it was like seeing them at Roulette. Mats was tiptoeing, red-faced, sax in his hand, blowing through it like, oh my God, the power. The bassist, he was red-faced. The drummer was red-faced. Everyone was frantic, hitting 16th notes. Faster than that, 100th notes, fast and furious, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Mats made the sax scream, like a scream. Like a human scream. I mean, free-form scream. I had never heard a sax make a sound like that. The bass player, he hit those strings like raindrops, hitting the hoods of 1,000 different cars in a junkyard. Which was amazing. It reminded me of a wonderful book I read about 3 times called Free Play, Improvisation in Life and Art. It's a book by Stephen Nachmanovich. Stephen Nachmanovich, Free Play. All of you artists and musicians, you have to read this book. So listening to the thing and watching them, at first you might think that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And then when they go into a stretch with some familiar standard rhythmic order and it's poof, on point, perfect, you realize then you have to be really damn good in order to play so wild and free and then just be able to ring it all back in. Quoting Mats, as they played this, he said, "This is some Scandinavian barbecue bullshit." I love that. I don't know what that means, but it was hysterical. Then he reaches for his sax and starts screaming through it, this big beast of a gooseneck sax creature I've never seen before. This instrument was like, what is that? And he made these jugular popping, busting elephant screams and air raid siren alarms come out of this instrument like an audio nuclear war was going down. It was amazing. And then he turns to sheet music. He turns a page. There was order to that chaos, and I was dying to decipher it, but I could not figure out the secret language. Listening to the thing is perfect for that free-spirited artist, whether you're painting, you're splashing, you're whatever, you're cooking, you're sculpting. Oh, it's so good. I mean, my chemo hair was tingling. It was both falling out and growing in at the same time as I was listening. It was so damn stimulating and so offensively, awesomely titillating. And, you know, it's just that beat and your friend who has that, like, you know, tapping leg that doesn't stop shaking. This is perfect for your friend. Yeah. So I'm listening. The bass player is playing the bow and the string with his finger like a sewing machine. It was frenzy. There was form. It was frenzy with and without form. It was freedom. I want you to hear it right now. We'll be right back. Oh, Lordy, that was awesome. Oh, my God. I was just... I think I might have hurt my neck. I was totally headbanging to that. Where was I? I can't even think. You know, like, music like that just kind of wakes me up. I know some of you must have hated that, but I know a lot of you must have loved it, too. Freaking thrash. That was awesome. So that was the thing. That was that song. I can't even think. The name of that track was... Sounds Like a Sandwich. To find out more about The Thing and to listen to more of their tracks, go to www.matsgus.com. MatsGus.com. Hey, Asverie, thanks a lot for that music, Mats. That was awesome. And shout out to Mike, who passed that track to me. Oh, that was great. And what a great way to end the show. So again, what's my big message? Please continue to keep making your art, your music, cook your food, share it, do your writing, dance, and keep being creative and putting it out there in the world. Because when you do, you help people like me healing from cancer. You help us win. You help us win that battle. Oh, so good. So send me what you're working on. Share it. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I can't even talk. That music amped me up so much. It's like crazy adrenaline. At DJ Cherish the Love. Show some love to Primary Food and Heritage Radio Network. Please go and like Heritage Radio Network on Facebook and DJ Cherish the Love on Facebook. Come back for the next episode. I can't wait. Yo. And again, remember, this is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, the Reverend DJ Cherish the Love. And you've been listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network.